The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. You can find all the lines and available odds, of course, at the DraftKings Sportsbook app. North Carolina listeners, don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in your state. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SBNFL. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code SBNFL. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility, deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
A very merry Draftmas to all of you Chiefs fans. Thank y'all for spending a little bit of time with us. Your Kansas City Chiefs have two new players on their roster. Linebacker Nick Bolton goes 58. You might have heard of him if you're from Kansas City. He went to Mizzou. Creed Humphrey, the center out of Oklahoma, goes at 63, and a lot to unpack with all of the, with both of those picks. And here to help me do it are my dear pals. First, find him on Twitter at Jacob Morley, Jacob Stack. What's up, friend?
What's up, guys? How we feeling? Feeling good. Was just in a podcast earlier. I'm just tweeting this right now, or typing this right now with my dear pal, Jace Sternberger, who looked at me and said, "Jake, looks like you haven't slept in 48 hours. And, he's not really that far off. I haven't slept much, 48 hours. And that's what draft season is all about, guys.
Matty Lane, how are you feeling, buddy? Because this has been a roller coaster of emotions the last couple hours hanging out with you today.
I roller coasters have ups and downs. And I don't know if there's been a lot of ups hanging out with me these last couple hours. It's been all down since the Chiefs got on the clock at pick 58 from my perspective. No, I'm only partially kidding here, guys. I think the Chiefs, you know, they had a draft. They had some guys on the board. They got the guys that they seemed they wanted, and I think they do make them a better football team now. I feel like we are going to peel back all the layers on why, you know, we had to talk about my personal feelings on these picks. But first, before we get to do that, we have to throw it over to Craig Stout, the Renaissance man himself, the owner of the write-ups of every single Chiefs draft pick so far in the 2021 NFL draft.
All two of them.
Yeah. Yeah. The Chiefs apparently like players that were assigned to me this year. So that's really interesting. Couple of singles here, a couple of guys that are probably going to start for the Chiefs for the entirety of the rookie contracts. I mean, we can be real here. Like, I think the entirety of the rookie contracts, looking at it from that lens, getting those two guys in the second round makes a ton of sense. We are definitely going to have conversations about positional value, especially with the Chiefs having some needs at some other positions. But let's get to the players individually first before we go all the way in on that. Kent, what are your feelings on Nick Bolton?
The giant elephant in the room. My feelings. So it's funny because I've obviously had that tweet pinned until like 2 days ago when we left Arrowhead Pride and I pulled it off to say thank you to everybody and all that stuff. But you know, I got a lot of questions about Nick Bolton for the last 6 months. Because everybody and their mom wanted Nick Bolton, and most of y'all wanted him at 31. And that was really where the conversation started. But that's just beside the point. I don't love the idea of linebacker. And it's not necessarily, it's not, my sentiment's not even really about Nick Bolton, who I think is a very good player. I think he's just a limited two down more type player. A guy you're going to, you know, he's going to see a lot of the Hitchens downs, is really, which is they already have Hitchens on the roster. So there's a little bit of redundancy there. So I think I think as you get farther down, this is not a pick for need in 2021. This is not a need pick for 2021. This is an investment in the future. This is your 2022 starting Mike linebacker better be Nick Bolton. It better be. And Willie Gay better be on the field more consistently next year too. Because the Chiefs have spent a lot of draft capital now on the linebacker position, and it's not necessarily dynamic coverage players, three down players. I don't think Nick Bolton's a three down linebacker, but they got a very, very, very good two down linebacker. And I think that's really the root of, you know, what just happened. And I, you know what, there's a lot of intangible qualities people like about Nick Bolton. And if that's a leadership angle, that could be a valuable resource in, you know, years 2, 3, and 4 of his contract. And if he earns it beyond that, you know, that's where the value of Nick Bolton. But I don't think this moves the needle a ginormous amount for the 2021 Kansas City Chiefs. They've spent a whole lot of capital in the linebacker group, and it's still not a great position. Hopefully this makes it a little bit better. There's a lot of layers to this, Maddie. I want to hear them. I know you're, I want to hear where you're at, and maybe let's just keep peeling that onion back, buddy.
Okay. So we're starting with Nick Bolton here, and this is the tough one because out of, I think everybody for the KC draft guide that watched and put a grade on Nick Bolton and even just watched him casually, I do think I was probably the highest on all of us on him. Nick Bolton does a lot of things at the linebacker position that I actively enjoyed. He's very aggressive. He plays downhill. He plays quick. He's willing to play on the other side of the line of scrimmage. There's a little bit of limitations in his ability to defend the run. You know, if he has to work through traffic, he's not the most agile doing it. He's going to go through a lot of contact because he doesn't have the hip fluidity. He doesn't have great body control in terms of his flexibility to avoid blocks. It's the coverage aspect. I got through so many games of Nick Bolton, and I never saw him move out of a 2x2 square in zone coverage. It didn't matter what route was behind him. In front of him, flashing, showing, he stayed in a 2x2 square and didn't move his feet. There were times where I don't even think he picked his feet up. That level of uncomfortable ability in zone coverage concerns me. And even if you can think you can teach him how to get better in zone coverage, which you probably can, your upside is still an adequate zone hook zone defender out of your linebacker. That's a two down player. You just drafted a guy that you hope is Anthony Hitchens in the second round of a draft while you have Anthony Hitchens and just took a linebacker last year. The positional value is just what really crushes me because they did just take a guy last year.
Yeah. And that's where a lot of the questions lie with this, you know? Yeah. He might play Sam linebacker. He might play Will linebacker with Willie Gay playing the Sam. Nick Bolton might line up in your nickel next to Anthony Hitchens with Willie Gay Jr. off the field. Like, there's a lot of questions about how they're going to line up at linebacker now. I think we all kind of know how it's going to happen in the future. You know, they can move on from Anthony Hitchens, save a bunch of money, have a young linebacker duo. Nick Bolton has tenacity, leadership, the football IQ, all of that stuff that you want out of your Mike linebacker, or specifically Steve Spagnuolo wants out of his Mike linebacker, he's got it in spades. Like, there's no question about the future of this pick right here, but it will be curious to see what the rotation is this next year. I think we all expect that Willie Gay Jr. is primed to take a step, unlock that athleticism, and be on the field. But we've also seen Steve Spagnuolo not play guys that have struggled to pick up the playbook a little bit, struggled to come into the game a little bit. Nick Bolton may give that a little more runway. And if he gives it a little more runway, then maybe we're looking at the previous pick, you know, talking about positional value and doing it back-to-back years, as maybe the one that we need to look at a little bit more. Jake, as a guy that is not specifically a Chiefs fan, you know, looking around the league, how do you feel about the Chiefs adding a linebacker, maybe not a coverage linebacker, but a linebacker to this group?
I don't know. I'm just sitting here thinking, did the loss to the Bucks in the Super Bowl set this team back more than just 1 year? Because what you never really want to do is try to build your team to beat one particular team. And you don't want to overreact to certain losses either. You want your team to just be the best version of your team that it can be. And I think the Chiefs are doing that in a sense, but also you look at what they've done at offensive line. It's almost like, is it overkill? You know, you pay a guard basically left tackle money, you give up big draft capital for a tackle, and then you use premium draft capital on a center. And so, like, this is, and I'm just walking through this kind of in my head right now too, but is that too much, you know? And then I could get when you say like, no, it's never too much to invest, you know, your invest in protecting your franchise. But then also I think, you know, what did the Bucks have that everyone is envious of this offseason? It seems like fast, you know, downhill type linebackers. And you look at now, okay, so they invested heavy capital in a fast downhill linebacker last year in Willie Gay. And now they invest in another downhill type linebacker this year in Nick Bolton. So it's just interesting. And I would love to get Andy Reid on a lie detector test and just kind of ask him, is that the plan? Like, are you just trying to beat the Bucks? You know, are you gearing up to beat the Bucks or be the Bucks or see what they did and say, we want that? So I just think you need to be cautious of that always when you're trying to build your team. So it's interesting, man. I think we're, you know, the Chiefs are now going into day three with a lot of holes still. And I think the casual fan around the league doesn't actually realize that the Chiefs, for as explosive as they are on offense, they don't have a lot of depth. It's Pat, it's Ty, it's Kelsey, you know, and beyond those guys,
Clyde.
Right. And so I think around the league, people don't really realize how big of a need a pass catcher was for this team to get, you know, earlier in this draft class, especially because those guys take a minute to develop. So like, yeah, you didn't get one this year and maybe you could hit on a guy on day three. That certainly has happened before, but you need an infusion of talent in that side of the ball, which is crazy to say because they have some of the most dynamic offensive skill position players in the NFL, but you're one injury away from being short, from being thin there. So it's interesting, you know, to see what the Chiefs went ahead and did.
Well, whoever Patrick Mahomes is throwing to, he's going to have a lot of time because the Chiefs have completely overhauled their offensive line and invest another high pick in their interior offensive line. Creed Humphrey completes the overhaul of the Chiefs' offensive line as the 63rd pick in the draft. He's an interesting prospect and a guy that if you've listened to this show for the last couple months, you've kind of heard how our opinions have formulated and changed over time. I think we've talked about this on this very show a couple of times, the pendulum, you know, maybe the pendulum swinging too far on Creed and some of that kind of stuff. It's been an interesting journey to get to this point with him, Maddie, because you look like you need to talk. Thoughts on the Creed Humphrey selection?
It's like the Nick Bolton selection, only I think there's even less upside. Like if you talk to me in 4 years and wonder, you know, if you tell me which one of these two guys became a star, I'd say it's Nick Bolton. And you taught him how to handle basic shallow zone coverage skills, and his ability as a run defender is a high IQ run defender that triggers quickly, caught him to be a good linebacker in the NFL. I could buy it. I don't see any trump card for Creed Humphrey on the film. I just really don't. I think he's solid. I think he's a very technical center. He's good with his technique. He's really good with his leverage. He can do anything you ask of him. But I don't see a trump card when he starts facing off against NFL competition week after week. I do think there's going to be times where he just simply struggles to handle the power and the length of guys across from him. So from the get-go, I think you're getting you're overselling his value a little bit when you take him at the end of the second round. And then to make it worse, you had just paid a guard left tackle money. Your two other highest paid interior or offensive linemen are also interior offensive linemen. And then now you come back and draft another interior offensive lineman. I just don't see how this is what you want to do when you are stacking up team needs for a team that has no wide receiver two, no edge rushers, you know, has a hole at cornerback, a lot more valuable positions out there going ignored.
And that's, I was going to jump in too. And it's like, Creed is a good player until you're playing Vita Vea. Right. And he's getting walked back into Patrick's lap. And then you say, well, that's why they paid Thuney, you know, Joe Thuney left tackle money. It's like, well, then why did you draft a center that needs help? You know? So it's just, it's kind of that back and forth. And I think I like Creed, but I like Garrett Bradbury a lot too, when he came out of NC State. And that's who I see a lot of when I watch him, is a guy that has really good movement skills. But it might take him a minute, you know, to kind of develop like that, the grown man strength to play in the NFL. That I think that's kind of what he's lacking. That's kind of been the same trajectory that Bradbury has taken. And I think a lot of people still are down on Garrett Bradbury, but he's developed into a nice player in year two. You know, I guess if you get that in the second round, cool.
Yeah. And you know? I mean, you look at who he gets to play next to, at the very least. Like, he's in a better situation than Bradbury was, for certain, but there are lots of concerns about him handling power, and that's the guy up the gut for Patrick Mahomes. That's the guy that you want to be the most comfortable anchoring and allowing Mahomes to be able to step up into that. I also think that Creed Humphrey is going to come in, and he's going to start day one. Like, I don't think that Austin Blythe is going to keep him from doing that. I don't think they're going to retool this offensive line to move Joe Thuney inside. I think it's very clear that they want two veteran guys on the outside of a rookie center, a guy that has called protections in his time in Oklahoma, a guy that is a very high IQ football player, very common theme in this draft so far. I think he's going to walk in and he's going to play immediately. Now, he may be an average center for the rest of his career. The time will tell on that. And I'm going to throw it to Kent to kind of keep going with that. But he is a guy that's going to be an upgrade over what the Chiefs currently have. And he's going to complete, as Kent said, the retooling of this offensive line. Brett Veach went out of his way this offseason, after watching Patrick Mahomes run for his life, to overcorrect, and I don't mean that in a bad way, but to throw assets and assets and assets at this offensive line. We saw the attrition that they went through last year. This is a completely different situation. They are trying to build depth on the offensive line. They are trying to build lots of guys that they can trust at that position, because they have to keep the franchise upright. And he's done it through the draft, he's done it through free agency, and now he's done it in trading as well. Like, he attacked it on all three fronts. So a very clear plan this offseason, and we're seeing that.
Remember when Nick Allegretti was a sleeper? Fun times. We probably need to have the positional value conversation, because I think that's a big sticking point for, I think, the people that are frustrated. It's interesting. It's been very interesting to read Twitter and kind of observe the perspective, because I don't think the Chiefs drafted bad football players. I think people are mad at the positional values and the positions they took, but are also taking it out on the players. And that's an interesting perspective, I think.
You know what that sounds like, Kent?
What?
This sounds like the same conversation that we were having about the Packers draft last year. Like, I don't hate the players they took. I don't love where they took them.
Yeah.
Right.
I think,
And I think what it boils down to is most of these guys that were drafted today aren't going to be very good. Like, that's just kind of the nature of the beast. And so if the Chiefs got two guys that are going to be good players for them, then who cares where they're drafted? Right.
Well, I kind of said earlier, it's, you know, it's center.
Yeah.
If Creed Humphrey plays 4 years of average center, he's probably worth the pick.
Probably
down there at the back in the second round.
And it's just, it's interesting though too, because it's the whole spectrum of, like, if you have two stud guards, you can kind of, it's easier to plug a guy in at center, and you don't really need a stud there. So it's just interesting. I think it's an interesting way to build your team.
Well, that's the issue, is when you're questing for an average center, why do you have to spend such high capital on it? Average centers that, you know, you barely have ever heard of, because they're average centers, get drafted in day three, go undrafted all the time. It's one of the most common positions to find a guy late in the draft to be average, especially if you're paying, you know, nearly $20 million to the offensive guards on either side of him.
Like an Austin Blythe, honestly. Like,
yeah,
Austin.
That's I said earlier before we started this. I don't know if you went throughout the whole season, you would have a couple plays in your mind that stood out of Austin Blythe being bad, but overall his impact would not be felt in between, you know, healthy Kyle Long and Joe Tooney. The difference between Austin Blythe and Creed Humphrey would not be felt on the grand scheme after the end of the whole season. And you made the decision to improve on Austin Blythe at pick 63 on a draft board that at least we thought was really favorable for the Chiefs.
Yeah. Now, let's be clear here. Creed Humphrey was a 10 RAS, relative athletic score, for centers. That's literally the highest score that you can have. He was one out of all of the centers
that in the last 35 years.
In the last 35 years, the most athletic guy to do that. So there is an athletic profile there that you're hoping that Andy Heck can unlock that and help him play to that level. Find that strength that he's obviously got on the bench press. Find that ability to be explosive and move. We know Andy Reid likes athletic centers. He's done this before, so he's definitely taking the gamble on the athleticism here.
I don't remember who said it today. Maybe it was Bear, Chief Bearcat, our dear pal, that there's like a it's fascinating because Nick Bolton doesn't look as unathletic as he tested, which he tested really poorly. And that, I don't know, maybe that's part of why he's down here at this range. I mean, I think the coverage questions and testing really poorly athletically probably is why he's down here in this range. So there's that, where he looks more athletic than he tested, and Creed Humphrey doesn't look as athletic as he tested on tape. So it's fascinating to watch that, kind of the inverse of both of these things. So I think these guys both have a chance to be singles. And solid singles. You know, maybe you can stretch. I think you could stretch both potentially to a double. I don't think any of these guys are going to be home runs when it's all said and done. But I do think, you know, Nick Bolton has a chance to be the starting middle linebacker for this organization for the long term. And if you think about it, I do think about this. Okay, one of the first things that the Chiefs did was add Anthony Hitchens, you know, in the Brett Veach era. So Brett Veach really wanted a middle linebacker. You know, he really prioritized a middle linebacker to be part of, you know, be on his field. They're going out and they're ensuring that they grab a smart, high character leader type player to be that Anthony Hitchens. Anthony Hitchens is a two down player right now. He's an $11 million two down player. And the Chiefs just spent another top pick on another, you know, two down player for the long term. So it's, I don't know, it's interesting. I think this has always been a priority for Brett Veach. And I think Steve Spagnuolo has a lot of impact on that decision too.
Well, I mean, going back to singles, what's the value of a single in the third inning when there's already two outs? That's, I mean, the equivalent of taking singles and interior offensive line and two down linebackers. I mean, yeah, we asked for this draft to come in and hit some singles, and I do think that they did that. It's just, though, I think Kent tweeted this out, your last four picks for the Chiefs in the top 75 picks have been a running back, a linebacker, and an interior offensive lineman. And I do feel like you have to say interior offensive lineman came after paying another interior offensive lineman $16 million. It's also fair to say Orlando Brown was involved in that because they did trade a first round pick to get him. But I mean, like, that's just a lot of investment in positions that the rest of the NFL doesn't care about at all. The Chiefs are highly prioritizing the positions the rest of the NFL doesn't care about. And generally, as of late, ignoring the positions that the rest of the NFL does care about. Have they figured out something that nobody else does? Or are they just, you know, maybe misvaluing some positions here?
I do think that you are seeing what happens. You know, Brett Veach just talked about tiering draft. I mean, I can believe that Nick Bolton was in a high tier in their picks. I mean, He was high on our linebacker board. Now, we can look at the board you know, at the pick that Nick Bolton was picked at and say, boy, it sure would have been nice to have a wide receiver too. Or boy, it sure would have been nice to have, you know, Boogie Bash on the edge, whatever the case may be, whatever that complaint is. But Brett Veach isn't necessarily looking at it like that. He's looking at it as, I have this group of guys that we all have rated at a certain spot. And as you're seeing, maybe these positional value stuff, you know, interior offensive line, running back, linebacker, all of a sudden those are the guys that fall a little further because the NFL doesn't value them as high, but they may be in an upper tier for Brett Veach. So he may be getting guys that are in one of his upper tiers, but they just happen to not be the same positional value that we look and we say, you know, hey, it would be really cool if Patrick Mahomes had somebody new to throw the ball to. Or, hey, it would be really cool if they could rush the passer a little bit better off the edge. They're looking at it and saying, we're taking the best player that we believe is on the board still, regardless of positional value.
But also, this team has, I think I'm trying to, like, this is all good for us because we're all just trying to process and understand, you know, everything as it's happening. It's the Chiefs have spent a lot of effort, energy, time, resources, money, draft capital in the linebacker position, and their linebackers have stunk. It has been an abject failure at the linebacker position for the last 3 years. Anthony Hitchens finally had the light switch come on, it seemed like, late last season. And what did they do? They drafted his replacement.
They did.
It's so bizarre, and it's been a failure. Veach has failed at linebacker. Now, and this, but this, here's the thing. This isn't a Nick Bolton comment, because Nick Bolton probably, I would anticipate Nick Bolton fixes the Anthony Hitchens problem. I would bet on that happening, but it's a problem because the fourth highest salary cap, you know, the fourth highest cap hit in 2021 is Anthony Hitchens. They just spent a top 75, they top a second round pick last year at linebacker. And now they're going to go back to the well to go and try to fix one of the most meaningless positions in sports or in football. Sorry, not sports. That's a little bit dramatic. In football, running linebacker is the running back of defense. I'm sorry. I think there's value sometimes in guys getting in things lined up and communicated and all that stuff.
Obviously, because we've seen what that looks like when they haven't had that the past 2 years, and it's been awful.
But also, coverage matters now more than ever. Mm-hmm. And they still can't cover. And Ben Diemen's still going to be in the dime. We haven't even got to that point. Ben Diemen is probably, did not affect Ben Diemen's snap count very likely. Nick Bolton's not playing in the dime.
No, likely not. You're probably still getting Dan Sorensen and Ben Diemen in the dime. You are probably still, and let you know, there's other guys. The Chiefs maybe will target a guy. There are a couple of safety linebacker hybrids that maybe could be an upgrade there. But as it stands, at the time of recording this, they spend a second round pick on a guy that's not going to go out there and replace the guy that I think everybody can look around and say that's the biggest problem at linebacker. And I think maybe that's where some of the frustration lies with some people. It's not just us. You know, there's a lot of Chiefs fans too. But I mean, people look at Bolton and say, well, he's an excellent run defender, but there are a lot of questions about him in coverage. And that's where the Chiefs needed a dude. They need somebody that can come in and be able to play coverage, get Neiman off the field a little bit more, be able to make that next step, because we know the Chiefs are going to be playing with the lead. Like, they're not in their base very often. They're almost always in their sub package, and they're at the end of the games. The things that we see teams, you know, the Chiefs have let teams back into some games because they're just sitting in the dime, and they attack it. Offenses attack the middle of the field, specifically Neiman and Sorensen. And this move does not change that. Doesn't change it at all.
Well, I mean, the obvious hope would be that Willie Gay can come in and take over Ben Neiman's role as the dime linebacker. But if that's the case, if Willie Gay is capable of coming in and taking over Ben Neiman's role, then what is the point of drafting another linebacker? I mean, I understand that you were trying to draft the future Mike, but if you have a three-down linebacker in Willie Gay, which is what you drafted him to be last year, you don't need another stud linebacker. You don't need another second round linebacker. You need a Jag. You need a smart player to come in, thump a little bit, and then come off the field while Willie Gay is your star. Like, we even can quit thinking at it in specific terms of Will and Mike. Just think about it as you have a stud linebacker and you have a complimentary linebacker and you have a part-time linebacker. The Chiefs are just loading up on all these complimentary guys right now. They have not gotten a stud guy despite continuously drafting these guys in the second round. You have to hope that Willie Gay can overtake Ben Neiman's role, and you have to hope that Nick Bolton can overtake Anthony Hitchens' role. But neither one of these guys right now are showing what you want them to be a three down guy that you build the entire defense out of. And you use back-to-back picks in the top 75 on them.
There's a lot of layers to this bad boy. Let's just be honest. But again, Nick Bolton's a good player. He is, for what he is, he's a good player. And I think Chiefs fans should be excited about that fact. I think there is a bigger question and a bigger concern and a bigger picture beyond the actual player that was taken today. And I think that's really what this whole conversation has been about the last 10 minutes. It's not even necessarily entirely about that. I think there's reasons to be concerned about the decisions that have been made in the last 4 years of the linebacker position. And I think it's largely been a failure. I think the Chiefs are more or less admitting some mistakes here tonight, if I'm being frank.
Which, I mean, if they are, good for them. But at the same time, like,
if they're admitting mistakes, it deserves critique.
It does.
It deserves criticism. It does.
Yeah.
If they are admitting today that they've made mistakes at the linebacker position, if that's the decision that they just did that, then we should be having this conversation.
Yeah.
Right.
But they've also made two straight Super Bowls and three straight AFC Championship games with terrible linebacker play.
That's a very good point.
So, I mean,
why are you drafting another one? Come on. I mean, I don't know. There's a lot of layers to it. I think the Chiefs got two good football players, and I think they got better today.
I agree.
And I think that's important. I like the players that they took better than some of the players that they've taken in the past. Like, I flat out didn't like Breland Speaks. I think he was a good player. The Chiefs drafted good players. It's just, we'll see what the ceiling's on them, and we'll see how far they're able to, you know, what they're able to achieve. There's different paths to success for both of these guys. Final thoughts, Maddie?
You mean, I think I've made it pretty clear at this point in time. I think the Chiefs are just emphasizing the wrong positions here. I think that, like Ken said, I think they drafted quality players. I'm a little bit more believer in the talent of Nick Bolton and then Creed Humphrey in terms of becoming more than just a guy at the next level. But I do think they drafted two guys that will make them better football players. Nick Bolton's the second best linebacker on this team for two downs. So I think you will see him on the field on base. You will probably see him on the field in the nickel because I think he is good enough versus the run. He's smart. It's just, that's a lot of investment. In going back to the same thing we spent most of this time on kind of rambling, the investment in positions that don't matter is getting a little out of control. And this team, the building process of this team, the structure of this team is starting to suffer. You see massive holes at edge, massive holes at wide receiver too. You still don't have a cornerback. Positions that matter are starting to get real thin on this roster, and you're going to have to go to veteran one-year deals to fill positions that matter.
Yeah, and unfortunately, in free agency this year, the Chiefs have just, they missed on some of those positions. They really did. And that's, we talked about before the draft, when you miss on that, you end up having a draft for need, or you continue doing what you're doing, and then you end up basically with what the Chiefs have here. It's not all doom and gloom.
No.
This is still a very good football team. You should still expect the same things out of this football team that you did last year. Patrick Mahomes is going to be more upright than he was last year. So, yeah, naturally, you should expect that this team can still do great things. They can still be right back where they were last year. But there are some questions now. You do have some questions about the way that Veach is approaching specific positions, the way that he's approaching value, and the way that he's approaching positions of need. So it does raise some questions, but they did get better today.
All right. That is going to do it for the AP Draft Show. Thank you guys so much for listening. We will be back to talk about day three, Kansas City Chiefs, tomorrow. Thank you guys so much for listening. We'll catch you later.